Scarpins Audio.
Hey guys, welcome to an amazing episode of View from the Cheap Seats.
We know it's going to be amazing even though we haven't recorded 1 ounce of it yet. It is going to be amazing because our guest is the great, the hilarious, he's an amazing comic, great actor, knows his sports, a huge Clippers fan. We'll get deep into basketball, USA men's basketball, and the Clippers and the future of the NBA with Eric Griffin.
I love talking anything with him. He's a contrarian dude, which is super for debate. He's just so fun to talk to. So Eric Griffin's on the show, and then later on the show, Dennis Rodman.
It's Olympics time, and he's going to talk about his connection to North Korea. How is North Korea doing in the Olympics?
I don't know.
I don't think they're there, but whatever.
Who knows? But
Rodman knows. We'll talk to him later.
But let's
stay
with the Olympics for our top take, and that is the fact that as we're recording this, the U.S. women's national soccer team
Pride of U.S. soccer.
Lost in the semifinals to Canada.
To Canada.
So
that would be like Canada losing to the United States in hockey.
Right? Or in like Tim Hortons coffee making.
Exactly.
But here's the deal. It is okay. I'm giving everyone permission who's listening to this. It is okay for you to be angry at the U.S. women's national soccer team. It is okay for you to be disappointed in that team.
That's right.
If you are angry and you are disappointed, then that means they're doing something right. And to me, if we are angry at the U.S. women's soccer team, it is a greater sign of their success than maybe even their success.
Right. That like they fell short of everyone's goals for them. They should be a dominant
team. We're not supposed
to
lose. We were looking forward to them going on another run and winning the gold medal. They came two games away.
But the whole way this tournament was played by this team, to me, showed me that they were not going to win.
No. First of all, they get owned by Sweden in game one and lose 3-0. Then in a weird game against Australia, they play for the tie just to advance, which I guess is fine. And they had a goal called back, which was questionable.
It shows you how few chances you get when you looked at the game against Canada. Each team only had a couple of chances. And then Canada got a weird penalty shot, and you're like, there's the game right there. The United States throughout this entire tournament has not been able to generate offense. And when you don't generate, yes, they scored 6 goals against, I forget who they were playing against, but they scored 6 goals. Fine. But
take that game out of it.
Take that game out of it.
New Zealand, I think.
Yeah, they have not been able to generate offense
against other teams,
right.
Against teams that they should be able to.
Right.
And Canada, you should be able to score a couple goals.
Exactly. This is Canada. You have to face them in their part of our continent.
Yes.
We should not only be destroying. Okay, the European teams, I can understand.
Brazil, maybe lose to Brazil. That's one thing. Maybe even the Netherlands, but they beat the Netherlands. Look. This is where U.S. women's soccer is. This is where the world soccer game.
The world is catching up to the women.
You can't just show up and win anymore. You have to have a plan. You have to play together. And you know what? This is different than the U.S. men's
basketball team
because the men's basketball team, they didn't even bring their A players.
Right.
These are the best players that the U.S. has.
The U.S. women's soccer team didn't bring their A game. The U.S. men's team didn't bring their A players.
So, look. I mean,
there was a moment, by the way, this past weekend where I watched the U.S. men's soccer team, which we've long slagged on this show, beat Mexico, their B team. The U.S. men's B team basically beat Mexico's A team for the CONCACAF Gold Cup. And that was so exciting. I was like, what am I watching, women's soccer here?
I was going to call him Alexi. Lexi Lawless.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Alexi Lawless? Was in tears.
Right.
Like, twice this summer. The United States has put up hardware.
Mm-hmm.
The CONCACAF Gold Cup, and then I forgot what the other, Copa America. They won both, and they beat Mexico in the finals.
In both of those. And by the way, it's not a bad Mexico team. This is a good Mexico team, and the young players for the United States beat them. And you said to yourself, okay, something's happening
here. We're building something.
Because we had no expectations on this men's team. You have so many expectations on the women's team, and they
fell short.
They let us down, and you ask yourself why.
So you wanted this U.S. women's day. You're Alabama now. You're Duke.
Mm-hmm.
You're Duke in basketball.
It's
you're
like
Alabama.
You're
in football.
Alabama in football, and Alabama lost to Ole Miss. You didn't lose to LSU.
You didn't even lose to Auburn.
Your rival in state. You lost to Ole Miss, a team that you beat 34 times in a row, or whatever it is. U.S. hasn't lost to Canada in soccer and women's soccer since 2001. So, to me, look, they're going to be bumps in the road. They are going to be playing, and by the time this comes out, they will either have won the bronze medal or not. They're playing Australia for the bronze medal.
To me, they better step up. They tied Australia.
Yeah.
They better step their game up and blow Australia away.
That's right.
And then take their bronze medal home and be a little disappointed.
That's right. And use that as motivation to come back to the next one, to the World Cup, and then come back to the Olympics
next
year.
And if we sound harsh, it only means that we're really fans. We're disappointed. And I liken this to when we were doing the roast battle. Mm-hmm. And judging the roast battle, there's a comedian, Joe, I'm blanking on his last name right now. He's in a wheelchair. I don't know what what he has or what his disease is or what causes him to not be able to move. But even speaking is kind of a strain for him. He also is a brilliant joke writer, and he also knows how to deliver jokes.
That's so right.
He's a good stand-up and a really good joke writer and roaster. He wins a lot in roast battle because people try to come at him and then his jokes are smarter and better and he wins. We saw who was it? Robin Tran who beat him, or someone beat him. Someone roasted against him and he lost. And we talked to him afterwards and he was like, "I'm glad I lost. Mm-hmm. That means that they're not giving me special treatment." Well, he belongs. No one's saying, "Hey, we're giving this to you because you're in a wheelchair." They're like, "You got to earn it like everybody else." That's the most like equal treatment that anyone can ever give him, is say, "Hey, you got a shot to lose as well." Mm-hmm. Well, the women's soccer team lost a game that they should have won. And we as fans right now, if you're a true fan, you're disappointed.
You're pissed at them.
And that's a good thing for women's soccer.
Because you're like, "All right, prove it when you can come back. Win that bronze medal game and then come back in the World Cup. Come back in the Olympics in 3 years and show us what you're made of."
All right, let's take a break.
Let's take a break. Come back. Riffing with Griffin. I can't wait to riff with Eric Griffin on the other side of this break, and then Robin later. This is
View from the Cheap Seats.
Don't go anywhere.
All right, guys, welcome back to the show. We love this dude. We love seeing this dude when we're out doing stand-up. I like watching him on TV, and I also like watching his stand-up, and I love his sports takes. Eric Griffin, welcome to the show, buddy.
Back again.
We're going to talk some sports. I mean, let's first just get in. I know you're a Clippers fan. Let's
take your temperature about how we
are. First of all, how did the Clippers do in the draft?
I think they did okay. I thought that one kid is pretty good, right?
Cam Johnson, I want to say.
He's pretty good, but you know, at this point, it doesn't matter what they already have in place. The fact that they even got somebody that is relatively good like that.
They
got
to keep Reggie Jackson.
It's pretty good for their team because they already have. But what I'm saying, I agree with. See, they're already hamstrung because of
Kawhi.
What he made them do. Right. So to get Paul George, they had to leverage the future. So they actually had to sign Paul George.
Yes.
Or because if they don't sign Paul George,
you don't get Kawhi.
Then no, it's not just that. No. Forget that.
Okay. So he's not moving on. He's looking at the future.
Forget what this. They got Kawhi.
Yes. Right.
What I'm saying though is they had to sign Paul George after that, or it was for nothing.
Yeah, correct. That's right.
Yeah. Because they gave away everything to get him.
That's right. Are you on board with what Paul George did in the playoffs, or are you like?
I think he proved a lot to. Get himself in a better, you know, he needed his, you know, it would be like, you know, look, Robin can't beat up Joker and
that's right.
He could put up a good fight and you'll be like, okay, well, I see you.
Although people have said this about Robin, he's a good two-way player.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
You know what I mean?
He can play defense.
I thought you meant he was bi.
Hey, but that's all right. Curious.
So I'm saying, so I think that he did a lot. What he did made me believe if Kawhi was there, they would have been in the championship and probably won it.
Yeah. We agreed with that, especially this season. Mm-hmm. With a down Golden State, with a down
Kawhi
Lakers.
Is so consistent, man. He's 36 points. He's 12 rebounds.
But,
he's
you know,
7 assists every damn game. It's like even when he has a bad game, he's 34 points. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like he's like to be counted on. There is no he disappeared in this game. I mean, there are a couple games he scored like 25 points. That's him disappearing. Scoring 25 points.
Paul George is a little up and down.
I know, but that's up and down.
Is.
That's who he is.
That's
but
right.
But I thought he was more up in moments that we didn't think he would be up in this playoffs. But you know, if you look at like the injuries are a part of the game, man.
They are
like,
a part of the game.
And like at this point, when we talk about Kawhi Leonard, he's injury prone. Okay, this is not new.
Mm-hmm. Right, he sat out a whole season with San Antonio because of a lower leg. It was so mysterious.
And then he got injured again. And he's a guy that gets injured. Right. Okay, so let's just – but I was thinking about this. The last five championships all have something funky about them.
Yeah.
They all do. So this year, you know, Kyrie Irving doesn't get hurt. Nets demolish.
I agree with that. The Milwaukee. They were up. They were up. What?
They were beating the hell out of them. With, okay.
Yeah. And okay, then, so, and then KD Durant was out of his mind.
Yeah.
Like, but it's even, almost like Durant. But, you look at Durant now on the men's U.S. Olympic team, and I'm like, is this a promotion for M. Night Shyamalan's old? Because he looks old. He's aging before we are very eyes.
But the thing is like, I have a whole other opinion about that.
Please.
I mean, you know, we can get to that. But let me just say, let me finish my point about these last five championships. Yes. So
Toronto.
Toronto, the funky. Klay Thompson gets hurt.
That's right.
Kevin Durant gets hurt. That's funky.
That is funky.
The two that Kevin Durant won, those are funky because they were already the greatest team ever assembled, and then you add this dude.
Right.
So I don't feel great about those.
Right.
Then the year before that, LeBron, Cleveland wins.
Right.
But Draymond Green gets suspended, and they're up 3-1.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the year before that, Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving get hurt, and LeBron takes them to six. They would have beat Golden State with.
They would have had two championships.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think what you're saying and what you're showing, what you're proving is, because I look at a guy like Joel Embiid, I'm like, this dude for the last several years has not been healthy in the playoffs. He needs to be healthy, but guess what?
This is a part
of it. That's part of the game.
Yeah, what we're realizing is exactly that this is a part. It's not like, I guess basically the point I'm making is this season wasn't an outlier.
No, but it's
this
funky.
Is just something that happens in the league. You know, and even if you go back to some of the championships that we like that we revere, mm-hmm. Jordan's first championship, James Worthy was hurt.
Yeah.
He was hurt. You know, when it was Magic and the Pistons, you know, with the Lakers and Pistons.
Yeah.
1 year, Magic's hamstring, he was out. And then the next one, the Isaiah Thomas' ankle was hurt. I mean, and there's never a time when we've gotten the best teams playing against each other, playing at
their best
players.
That's what makes when Magic had to play center for that game in the Garden and he won. That's what made that so great.
Yeah.
Is like he had to step up and overcome.
I thought that was against the Sixers.
No, that was against the Celtics.
Celtics. Okay.
But it's a good point. I mean, I look at it even in the NFL in terms of there was a moment, was it last year, I think, where Chad Henne, the backup quarterback for the Chiefs, had to carry them
quarter. Yeah,
he had to make two plays. He, on a fourth down play, he ran and scrambled and got yards. Yeah. And you say to yourself, you need the backup to be good enough to get you there.
Yeah, the team's got to be good, and I think that's what's been proven in the NBA right now.
Right.
You need some depth. You need some people. But, like, so, you know, I don't know. But if you – like, this now this Kevin Durant thing, man, first of all, there's two things.
Mm-hmm.
First, I think that – you know how they say people don't come back from that injury?
The Achilles injury.
The Achilles injury. Well, what we realize is they can come back if you give them a year and a half off.
That's right. And he didn't
came
get
back
that.
Too soon.
Yeah.
He didn't get that.
No. I think he did.
Well,
I think he had a spectacular year this year because he had a lot of time off. He only played like 40% of the games this year.
Okay, I see what you're
saying. So he had a lot. So he had all of the COVID. He had all of the thing. All of the bubble. He had more time than a person would get.
But he came back too soon on that first injury when he came back to Golden State.
Oh no! But forget about that.
Okay,
I'm talking about
the most recent.
The most recent injury.
Yeah.
He. What we're finding out is you should keep, but they pay him so much money they got to bring him back.
That's right.
So, but the thing is, like, what they really should do is, like, no, you're out for a whole year, mm-hmm. and you're gonna be out for the half of the next year.
That's
after that, you're gonna be on a minutes restriction, and then a year after that, you'll be 100%, and we're getting our money's worth.
That's
but here's the thing about Kevin Durant, man. Look, he's a great player,
mm-hmm.
no doubt. You know, and you know this will never get to him, but you never know. You know how he has these burner accounts, and he's like,
he goes after
people.
Exactly.
He might come after me, trash me. I don't care.
Never know.
But my thing is, like, you know, if you just go back against the Heat, when it was Golden, OKC against the Heat, there's like two or three games, important games. He was like 7 for 30.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very important games.
Yep. Right.
All right. So now you cut to them trying to get back to the championship, mm-hmm. and the things that have happened in the Western playoffs.
Yes.
It was a lot of they didn't get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
Now the most recent of their Western playoffs is they're up 3-1,
mm-hmm.
and in the important games he was 7 for 30. Not exactly, but I'm saying if you look at I looked it up.
Yeah.
It's like 6 for 25. It's like something, you know, and they're very important games. And then he goes to this team where he doesn't have to be whatever.
He doesn't have to be the all-world.
He don't got to be the all-world guy. Okay.
And he's unbelievable.
It's great. But yeah, but I think that I could
have. A lot of uncontested shots.
I feel like I could have got 10.
You could have been 8
for 25.
You know what
I mean? I could have got 10, 3 rebounds. Right. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so then you go like, I'm being facetious, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
And then you go to, and then now you cut to now.
He's on Brooklyn now.
Now he's in Brooklyn. So yeah, he had that great, spectacular 49-point, 17-rebound game in a game that it didn't matter if he won or lost.
Mm-hmm.
They were still in the game. And then after that, what happens?
I mean, the thing is, he loses, and he loses his two guys that are that support system there. You know, like Harden's kind of out, and
I know,
Kyrie's
but,
out, and you know.
Yeah, you mean like how he did the same thing LeBron did. I mean, LeBron played against the greatest team ever, and
with
you know,
like three guys, J.R. Smith, who was like shirtless for half of it.
I mean, but he lost Kevin Love, he lost Kyrie Irving, and he took him to 6 games.
That's right. He did.
You know what I mean?
That's how good LeBron
in
is.
In the finals.
In the finals.
Okay, so I'm just saying. So I think that there's something about Kevin Durant's personality that is not, what do you call it? Team friendly.
I'm glad you bring that up because I want to talk about Russell Westbrook to the Lakers, which for a lot of people, because you can't, the two are inextricably connected.
Linked,
okay? So you're like, what was the problem in OKC? Was it Russ? Russ has been now on 4 teams in 4 years.
Get deep into the playoffs.
Get deep into the playoffs because he has never met a shot he didn't like. I mean, at least Durant hits some of the shots he takes.
I know, but they weren't a good relationship, but at the same time I disagree. I think that they were great together. They were up 3-1 against the best team,
were.
You know what I mean? So like they needed another year. I wish that they would have came back. I wish that they would have had the four.
Can you imagine those three?
Just
that
in.
Three at, with the maturity that they
with the
gained
maturity
in the next
that
year.
Yeah, and
the,
so
and
I just
Harden.
Don't.
Harden wasn't Harden yet.
But the thing about Westbrook to the Lakers is I think that LeBron James has the gravitas, has the elder statesman, has the, hey, I might be the greatest player of all time.
You can make that case.
Thing. He has that to tell Russell Westbrook, yo, we're going to do it this way.
And you think he's going to listen?
Yes.
You do?
Yes. I think the only reason why they made it, the only reason why they made that trade is because LeBron James was like, I got it.
But he likes the trade.
Listen to me.
I know.
They went to LeBron James and said, look, we know you only got a couple years left.
Who do you want to come and play?
He said, we can do this. You think it was a surprise?
No.
LeBron James went to them and said, I got it.
To me, I think they would have been better if they're like, get me Chris Paul.
Because I don't think Chris Paul wanted to do that.
I don't think he did either. He wouldn't have, but here's my question. Doesn't Russell Westbrook, in some ways, you think about how LeBron shoots. Doesn't he give you the same thing that LeBron gives you with just a little lighter?
Listen, LeBron James gives you whatever you need. At 36 years old, he led the league in assists.
That's what I mean. He's going to drive into the lane and kick it out to Russ. And what's Russ going to do? Drive into the lane?
No, he's going to give you what he needs. You're not listening. If at 36 years old is the first time he's leading the league in assists, that means he adjusted his game.
So what's he got?
LeBron's going to adjust his game again. I bet you're going to see a lot of LeBron down in the post. You're going to see a lot of
they're
going to bring shooters in.
Who are they going to bring in?
They can bring in Buddy Hield guy.
I don't think they're going to bring in Buddy Hield. I think that Westbrook was him or Hield.
I think they can still get something.
You think they're not done yet?
They're not done. They need some shooters.
The truth of the matter is, you aren't going to find a better combo than LeBron and AD when they're both healthy. That's just as good as it gets because AD is just such a matchup problem.
But you're talking about an older LeBron.
That's true.
He is older. Which is fine. It's just like it reminds me of that older Shaq when they won in Miami.
That's right.
The 2006.
He still was great.
Yeah, but he wasn't 10
Diesel.
Years
he
earlier.
He wasn't the Diesel.
Right. Dwayne Wade was clearly the best
That's
player.
Right. That's
but
right.
But talk about a Robin that like is like damn.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
Save some for me, Robin. You know what I mean?
Well, the beauty of that and it's amazing for Lakers fans. The beauty of that is Shaq went out and got his on his own,
and by the way, they would have won two if Dwayne Wade didn't get hurt in the Eastern Finals.
That's right. And Kobe went out and got two more on his own. So it's like,
And that's because LeBron let us down.
You think so?
Yes. We never got to see what we wanted to see that year. Right. That would have been the that we all wanted to see.
Yes.
LeBron versus Kobe in the finals. And we never got it. And we really wanted to see that. And it would change. By the way,
I don't think LeBron had the horses to do it. Like, he didn't have the full
And I think Kobe was.
This is the difference between the two of them that some people argue why they would maybe put Kobe above LeBron in the history of the game. They say Kobe will slit your throat to win. And LeBron maybe doesn't quite have that. I'm not saying it. I disagree with it. So tell me why you disagree. Because some people say Kobe was about winning in a way that LeBron maybe isn't about winning. Kobe's about winning the way Jordan was about winning. LeBron, yes, winner. Winner has won a lot. By the way, when LeBron stood up in Miami and said, "We're not gonna," what he said was, "We're not gonna win one, we're not gonna win two, we're not gonna win three, we're not gonna win four." He went to the finals. Like, if six,
yeah,
seven
that's
times,
just what I'm trying to say.
He went.
Like, the guy went to the finals.
Right, you know how
10
hard it
times.
Is to make it there. I know.
So we know he made it to the finals. Yeah. I know.
You
I'm not saying he's not a winner.
So
we're talking about the.
Let me just make this statement
please,
for you right now.
Please.
If they would have, they would have beat the Lakers.
Okay. That team,
yeah,
LeBron.
That team would have beat the Lakers. LeBron James is way better in the finals than Kobe has ever been. Mm. You look at Ron Artest should have been the MVP of the finals that year. Paul Gasol had a better claim to be the MVP, but it was because he was Kobe Bryant that he won.
Right.
He didn't have great finals, man.
Play good defense, but you're
I'm
right.
just saying, look at his numbers.
That's
it
right.
wasn't like it
yeah,
wasn't.
That, I agree.
It wasn't 51, no. 10, and 12
know,
that LeBron gave you in the finals. I just think that he would have made it to the finals. Oh, that matchup. I think LeBron's better in. He's better individually, and that thing you're saying, like, no, Kobe wanted to win his way. Like,
that's right.
He wanted to win his way. He didn't want to, like, Jordan wanted to win. He won, and he also adjusted. He adjusted his game. You know, he passed the ball for a championship shot. Kobe wouldn't have passed that ball.
No.
He wouldn't have passed to Kerr. He wouldn't have passed to, you know, none of that stuff. I'm just saying.
That is the flip side of the argument for LeBron is that he makes the right basketball play.
He just went up against.
He went up against, like,
when he played against San Antonio was a way better team. He went up against this Golden State team. They were a monster,
they were just a complete monstrous
team, dude.
And then he
gets to the Lakers. He went, no, come on, man. You have to really look at, like, these things they say about him. Forget what they say about him and look what he's done.
I think I have eight straight finals.
So I'm
watching a guy coach my son, and he basically says, when you get past your guy, if you beat your guy in your coverage, if he's covering you and you beat him, and someone comes to you, someone comes off someone else to you, your play is to pass it. Your play is to dish it. You don't take that guy on. If that guy has position, or if two guys come to you, that means someone's open.
That means two people are open.
Two people are open. So LeBron, his instinct
is to
draw them in and then make the kick and have someone else do it.
I think early on in his career, he was probably more that. But I think the last 10 years of his career, he's a monster. You know, when he figured out who he needed to be in Miami, he was unstoppable.
The Miami years were incredible.
He was unstoppable.
When he came back,
he was unstoppable, but also he was unstoppable because they had to account for two other guys who were close to unstoppable.
But even in Cleveland, man.
In Cleveland, he was.
He still went through,
but Kyrie was the one, if you look at game seven and the fourth quarter and the second half, or game six, sorry. Kyrie was the one.
He's a phenomenal player.
But you have to remember
that, because all the attention is on LeBron James,
right? And he knows that.
What
you just said, Jay.
That's what I said. He's making the right basketball. He's making the right basketball play.
Oh yeah, his IQ is off the chart. We go
because he didn't win. Like two more games in each thing.
Well, if winning's everything, then Bob Horry is the greatest player ever.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean?
Like, you know,
Bill Russell. Bill Russell.
Yeah, the guy got to 10,
which is
championships
with some
okay
average
okay teams.
Teams.
And he's playing right now at this age better than anyone has ever played
at 36.
At this age.
Yeah. Like when Kareem was 36, 37,
he looked like he was 56.
He looked like he was your grandfather. Right? You're like, is he going to break when he walks down the floor?
I'm just saying, man. In terms of like, if you were drafting a team, if we were drafting teams,
right,
for our lives,
yes,
you know, and we needed
which
to
I
pick a team,
do. Which I wanted,
I would
to,
love
know?
To do that.
And if it was like, you know, and
Kobe,
if
Jordan,
me, you know,
LeBron.
It's like if we were picking teams, you know, yeah. And if we had somebody else to give, we had four. Here's the thing: I always say this. If I have first pick, I'm taking Jordan, and if they say it's only the three of us,
yeah,
I'll take Jordan in the number four pick versus anybody you guys pick.
That's right.
I'm gonna win. Because right. I'm going to have Jordan and whoever that is.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is now the next person
is going to get
taking LeBron. I'm taking LeBron and the sixth pick because right. that's going to be better
this
than.
This would be an amazing draft.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So you know, I just think that like when you talk about greatest of all times, you talk about who you want to have, mm-hmm. you can talk your nice thing about Kobe and he's great and RIP and he was all that was great.
Yeah.
But like. Do you know, look at Shaq's numbers in those three championships.
Shaq,
like it was like.
It was Shaq.
The most dominant force. His numbers are ridiculous in those finals, man.
So the truth of the matter is, and they talk about it in football all the time, who's the guy on the offensive end of football that we have to game plan for? Who do we have to change everything for? It's in those Lakers things, it was Shaq. We have to double him up. We got to hack him at the end of the game so we put him on the free throw line. They're not saying, how do we guard Kobe? No, you just put your best guy on him and see what you can do. They're not saying that. They're not saying, we need to throw two people out at him. That's why Giannis is such an interesting and fascinating player, too, because you kind of have to figure out a way to deal with him, too. What he did in the last game, game seven of this thing, was
solidified it.
Incredible.
Yes. Yeah, he said,
showed up.
He said, I am the league MVP.
Yep.
I am the best player on this court right now. We're going to win this championship because of me.
Because of me. I'm going to score 50.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Chick-fil-A the next day and order 50.
Yeah.
And guess what? I'm going to hit 16 out of 18 free throws.
That's the thing, 17 out of 19,
whatever.
That was the thing, too, that he was like, he let us know what kind of champion he is.
That's
now,
right.
Here's the thing. I need to see him.
Do it again.
Do it again.
That's
because
right.
I just don't think Milwaukee – I didn't trust Milwaukee going into this.
You had to put a lot of trust in Chris Middleton, and I don't know if everybody had that trust in that dude, but he showed up.
Not even just him. Kyrie Irving has now cost himself two championships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because of his injuries, he's cost himself two championships
and his belief in the flat Earth.
You know,
can we throw that in there too? Can we throw that up in there?
But it's
too?
Part of the, obviously it's part of the game. But like, Cleveland would have won the championship with Kyrie Irving that first year.
I don't even think
Golden State would have been able to be as good as they were the next year because I think it would have derailed their whole thing. Who knows how history would have changed.
Klay Thompson comes back and he is the Klay Thompson of old. He can shoot where are they next year? Because with Steph, who played out of his mind this year, you got to give him credit for the way he played.
And they brought along young guys like Jordan Poole.
Yeah, I think they're going to be a pretty good team, but I think Draymond Green, they've already gotten the best out of him.
I think they've gotten the best out of him.
He's on his way to the Barkley slot.
He's like, you know, that was really like a big part of their team, but we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's all about like how great do we think LeBron James still is?
We're going to find out.
We will find out.
It's why it's so fascinating. All right, let's talk about the U.S. men's basketball team because I believe that we didn't take the right dudes. Like, how is Ice Trey not on that team?
He is the most exciting dude in gyms. Well, here's the thing, man.
He's so exciting.
The best player on that team.
Mm-hmm.
Is having the same problem he's had on every single
this
team.
Is what we were talking about.
He's back ever been
it.
On.
Yeah,
he's not that dude.
He's not that dude. And I just think
it's like, you know, that's what it is.
Part of it is because of the type of game he plays. So you ask, what's Kevin Durant? When is he in his sweet spot? It's when he's pulling up and shooting shots. Okay, you're not going to be able to do that every single night. So is he the kind of guy who's going to muscle a guy down when he doesn't have a shot that night and just back him down and get into the post and do what he has to do with like inside shots? If your shot's not falling, he doesn't have that.
The wrong roster was brought to
you. You have no big man that you can just start feeding when the shots aren't falling.
And you got again
Bam Adebayo,
Draymond Green's 100, acting like he's, you know,
Kevin Love's on the team.
You know, he's not.
He's off the team now. He left.
But you know, by the way, though, let me just go back and say one thing though. The Nets lost because of bad coaching.
You think so?
Oh, for sure. For
Steve
sure.
Nash.
He was just blue. He was too blue. He was too green, I'm
too
saying.
Green, yeah.
He was too green. No, there's no way Kevin Durant should have played every single minute.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Because it's like in that four and going into those, it's just like you just got to have a strong personality on the sideline going like, no, you're coming out.
Yeah.
I need you. We're going to take this time out. You're going to get 2-3 minutes right here, and we'll see what we can do. Man. You know, I don't understand what's his
panic
name.
Panic mode. It's panic mode.
Exactly. But that's just green back coaching.
He's a new coach.
I think he will be a good
coach.
Now, what I'm saying now is that I don't think that the U.S. team is being coached to their best ability either.
I don't think so either.
So it's not, I'm saying this, I don't want to put it all on Kevin Durant.
And I love Bob. I think they have to game plan better for – you can't – this is a new world right now. You can't just show up and be like, we're USA.
By the way, USA looks like every other team. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like France has like three dudes.
Yeah.
Rudy Gobert is the best defensive player in the NBA. Fournier is not a bad player on the 76ers.
Well, they've also played. It's just like I heard someone saying this. It's kind of like when you look at the NCAA, when you got those one-and-done players versus like those juniors and seniors who've played together for 3 or 4 years.
That's what you're getting.
They look like a better team. And so that's what's happening in the U.S.
But I think that from the coaching perspective, you need to develop a game plan and play differently every night. You need to be like, all right, this is who we're playing, France. They like to spread you out, and they like to just take their shots. Well, we're gonna get up in their shirt all game, and we'll just rotate guys in.
I don't think they care about it.
I think you're right about that. You know why? Because they're NBA players, and there's something else that they care about more than this, which is so bizarre. It's just strange. It's like, to me, it's like why you saw the tennis. You know, obviously Djokovic was looking to win the Golden Slam, and he wanted to win gold medal and win all 4 Grand Slam tournaments in 1 year. He gets bounced before he even can win a medal. And you're like, yeah, but he's focused now on the U.S. Open, which is happening in a little. You know what I mean? Like, they're all sort of like, they have bigger things in their sports. Whereas for gymnastics, there's just gymnastics. For diving and swimming, it's just the Olympic. That's all you have. It's everything leading up to this.
Well, even in basketball, you have the basketball world championships. You know what I mean?
FIBA world championships.
They count that as like, you know, I mean, I don't know. I just think that.
Well, certainly for baseball and softball, it should be the bigger thing. But baseball, U.S. team just got beat. All the sports the U.S. should have dominated in and dominated in.
Well, I don't think that the U.S. baseball team should dominate.
Because it's not MLB players in there.
Players and all the best players in the MLB are not from the United States.
They are not.
It's not an American sport anymore. It's
a Caribbean sport.
Yeah,
I mean,
people that come from other places and they come here and they play. You know, because they don't promote the sport to the best athletes in the country.
Well, the best. What's crazy? The best baseball player right now on the planet is from Japan. Okay,
yeah.
Shohei Ohtani. The best basketball player right now who can say I'm the best and I'm the greatest is from Greece. By way of Nigeria. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing. These are two sports that I think are, you know, woven in the fabric of the United States and played on the highest level in the United States, and the two best players are from elsewhere. And I would argue one of the most exciting players in the NBA is Luka Doncic. So, you know,
right.
I mean, that's a dude who they're
never going to win with him. Cause
I don't think they are either.
Because he's been groomed to be a diva since he was 11 years old.
I think he's got to go to the Knicks.
He's got to go someplace with a strong
coach personality that says, if you want to win, this is your role.
Yeah, this is how we win here.
This is your role.
Or you want to be, you know, because he's going down that Russell Westbrook way right now.
So I have a better shot. So I've watched a lot. He does have a better shot, but I've watched a lot of their games because I'm a fan of Trey Burke, and I want him to succeed, and I know he doesn't necessarily have it, and I like Hardaway. We're Michigan guys, so we like to see those guys succeed. And, yes, there are – with the Mavericks, we watched them against the Clippers this year. They were up 3-1, but then Doncic, he gives them a lot of empty possessions down the stretch. Mm-hmm. Shots where you're like, hey, you're messing with the ball and there's only 3 seconds left, and now you're going to take an off-balance shot, and maybe 1 out of 3 times it goes in, but 2 other possessions. Clippers are down by 6. They come down and shoot 2 threes. It's a tie game. You got to have, like, down as the game tightens in the fourth quarter, you got to have a plan to get easy buckets, fouls or easy buckets. That's how teams win.
All these guys are, you know, they got a big egos. They're making a lot of money. They have a lot of control and power in the organization. Everything's based off ticket sales. And, you know, it's rare when you find that thing, that kind of player that is about, you know, playing the game right and winning. I mean, you know, it's,
that's why Giannis is a fascinating individual. And maybe it came from the fact that when Giannis got to the league, he was 6'9", 190. He is now 6'11", 245. Yeah. So he has grown literally, grown and matured mentally, and he's become that franchise dude. It's like you watch that guy celebrate when he was celebrating. I'm like, this guy appreciates every moment of this.
Well, you know, I really hope that – I think that he still has room for improvement in his game.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's still – I think that – like he's listening to the chatter, and you know, I feel like he would want to feel like, no, I'm better than Kevin Durant.
Yeah,
you know, I want him to feel like that.
That's right,
and prove it.
That's well, but right.
Because they're different players.
They're different, but the way he feels like he can be better than Durant goes back to what I was saying before, because in his bag of tricks is the I'm going to back up and then I'm going to bum rush you. Well, I'm going to come at you.
Well, remember when they were playing against each other?
Yeah.
Like he was tearing Durant up.
Yeah, three
steps. Kevin Durant can't guard him.
Three steps in the lane. Like, he's going to take a shoulder to you.
And I don't understand why he wasn't guarding him.
I know.
You know, you're big, strong, fast. Like that was a mistake there. I didn't understand that in terms of like the coaching choices.
This was a great finals. This NBA finals. Now,
the playoffs even in general.
The playoffs in general, but this finals was a great finals. I mean, you had defensive plays that came out of nowhere. You had just incredible. Every game came down to the wire.
I know, but I can't help but just you always going to think, well, you know, Anthony Davis was hurt. Oh, Kawhi Leonard was hurt.
It's true, but like we said, it's
Kyrie Irving.
But it comes back to what we were saying at the beginning.
But it's so many this time.
Injuries
though.
Are part of it.
I know it's a part of it, but this was really an outlier of like
you got to say last man standing.
So many,
but
so this
Giannis
was an outlier.
This was an outlier in that it was
hurt.
A lot of big name guys that got hurt.
Yes, yes.
Like
yes.
You said, every year
we don't think the Suns are better than the Clippers.
No,
not,
and we don't think
not
the Suns.
I watched
not full strength.
Not full strength.
And I don't think they're better than the Lakers either.
No.
Full strength. There's no way.
But the Suns found. But the Suns found something. They did find something.
Health. That's what they found.
They did. But they did find something along the way where you're like DeAndre Ayton stepped his game up, and you're like, that's a better player.
That's great, you know.
And Booker made some. Booker Cam was Johnson. You showed flash. You know,
but
what
they
I mean?
Needed him to be
better than he was.
They needed him to be that great every single.
That's
game,
right, but
and
he's
it's just
too
not
young,
possible.
And he's not. Yeah. He's not there yet.
I wanted Chris Paul to win.
Me too. Same.
But like at the same time, I was like, oh, it's not just because you got injured that you didn't make it.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple choices.
There's choices
down
and some
the
things.
Stretch. Yeah.
It's not a little man game, man.
The NBA Finals. Well, he's probably the best 6 foot point guard maybe that's ever played. Maybe.
He's
Isaiah
up there.
Thomas is up there too, and he was a winner. All right, let's take a break, shall
let's
we?
Let's take a break.
Take a break. When we come back, Eric Griffin's with us. We'll find out what he's got going on, and we got a couple of quick hits. Stay with us. A view from the cheap seats.
Consider drinking in the yard, in the words of a perfect stranger, in the hallways of my heart, because all the blessings are somebody else's.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. I want to remind people, Randy and I have a Patreon.
That's right.
It's called patreon.com/Sklar Brothers. We're doing new episodes of our old show, Cheap Seats. First time we've done new episodes in 15 years, and they are only available if you join our Patreon, and it's great. They had extra stuff here. We got all sorts of stuff.
We got it.
So join that, and we got Eric Griffin with us. Eric's got a podcast called Riffin' with Griffin. That thing's still up and running and doing its thing.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's exactly how I feel. I feel like an NBA team. They got a lot of injuries.
Yeah,
we've all been injured. Still going at it. Riffing with Griffin. Check it out. Every Monday it comes out, and you know I'm trying to do like bonus episodes and things like that. I did a live one today because I didn't get it done.
Okay.
So I got live, and I'm still doing that, and I'm doing road gigs. You know, ericgriffin.com. I'm going to be at the MGM Grand at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club from the 9th to the 14th in Vegas next week.
Okay, Vegas. So Vegas, get up and go see this dude. He will kill you. I honestly tell you, when we follow him on the stage,
very
at the
difficult
store,
to follow.
Number one, he's hard to follow.
Number two,
and that's
a compliment.
Number two, he's just fun to watch.
He's fun to watch.
So Vegas, is it a fun? Performing
you know what
Brad
I don't,
Garrett's I've heard is good. Have you
yeah,
ever
yeah, I've been to Brad's before. Yeah. I don't even know, man, because I'm just hearing, I'm a little nervous about Vegas because you're just hearing, like, I have so many people I know that they've gone to Vegas and they're like, we got COVID.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, hey, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to win at the slot machine.
I don't know how it's going to be. I just feel like I'm going to be like in a mode of just like,
go do
go
your show
and go back to my room.
Yes. You know you got to
protect
yourself.
I don't know, man. You got to eat and it's like all this stuff. So
go
it's like
your room and then masturbate yourself to sleep.
You know,
that's
so
it.
It's just. It's a lot, man.
It is a lot, but if you're in Vegas, go see
him. Go check him out. MGM Grand. 9th through the 14th.
All right. Let's get into these quick hits. I don't know if you saw. Did you see Kyrie trash his own shoes? I don't know if you read about that.
No.
So he's got Kyrie 8s are coming out.
By the way, 1 through 7s are amazing shoes.
I bought those shoes for my kid. They're good shoes.
Really? I didn't know that.
I like them. They're good shoes. But he signed in 2011 with Nike, $10 million a year to be a swoosh guy. And he's complaining about it. He's quoted on Instagram saying, I had nothing to do with the design of these. These are trash.
These are trash, in my opinion. You can't say that.
Can you say that?
Well,
even if you feel that, you can't say that.
Well, I mean, I guess he thinks he can.
I mean,
he obviously thinks he can.
If he wants to stand by the product, I mean, unless they're saying we're paying you to just be a face and not have any input or anything. We're just paying you to be like, all right.
So what do you think happened? Do you think he was like, hey, I want to be involved? And they're like, we got this. And then response?
I think that there's some kind of rift. I don't think he's a dumb guy, too. I think there might be another company that's like, oh, come to us because we'll pay you 20 and we'll give you all the input. You know, so his is like, you know, this is him, his way of trying to get out, you know, like Harden did in Houston.
Just burn it down.
Just burn it down. He's got plenty of money. He doesn't care. It's
so funny. You know? As we live in the age and this, that might be the
truth. That might be the take.
So obviously Aaron Rodgers joined the Packers, joined them back up. But, like, his opening press conference just lays
smoke.
He gave
him the fire.
And I was like, I'm here for it. Because what did he do? He put all the players who they apparently did wrong. And we're in Hollywood. We know.
Yeah.
When someone tries to make a deal with you, when they were making a deal with you for your second season of Workaholics or whatever it was, you know that they probably were like, Lowball his ass,
yeah,
and that's
man.
Just the way it's going to go, and we're not going to treat him with the respect he deserves. That's the way everybody gets treated.
Yep.
And he was like, I am not going to stand for it. And anybody who's ever been treated poorly by their bosses,
undervalued,
watched Aaron Rodgers and was like, I'm with you. You think I'm with ownership and management? You're not, you know, he's standing up for
him. He basically let him know it wasn't about the money. He could have taken that deal to make him the highest paid player.
Yes.
And he was like, I don't care what's money. I know how much money I'm making. He's like, at this point, he's just like, look, I want the respect.
And I want these people to be treated well. Why does Aaron Rodgers, who in my opinion is as good if not better of a quarterback than Tom Brady, why was he not winning multiple Super Bowls? Well, because things on the field weren't happening.
Yeah.
Guys in the locker room that he wanted were not there anymore because they let him go.
Yeah, he said, look, there's a guy like Charles Woodson. He's not in the locker room. I want him there. It's like, yeah.
Jordy Nelson. You think Jordy Nelson is? Jordy Nelson is not Randy Moss.
He was at least saying, hey, can you listen to my input?
Right.
Can I just give you some opinions?
Can I help recruit?
Yeah,
guys
can I help recruit? And their attitude was like, "Look, we're in agreement. It's an old mentality, man."
But who are you gonna in that moment? Who are you gonna listen to? Because the guy comes on as the GM and is like, "We take Aaron's input," and you're like, "No, you don't." Because if you did, he wouldn't be coming out here right now and saying this,
or none of this would have happened.
None of it would have happened.
Yeah, but you know, you're talking about the problem with the people that run that organization is entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're not the owners. This guy's just a ball. He's just the guy. He's just a guy
GM.
That runs it.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So he doesn't have the investment like Jerry Jones has the investment in, like, this is my team.
Right.
This is my Xbox.
Right.
Because I'm a billionaire and I'm going to do it like this. Mm-hmm. This is a guy that's trying to run it like, and it's a you know, and he's resentful because he'll never make as much money as he has to pay.
He's like a manager at a McDonald's.
You know?
He doesn't own, it's
even
not a small
worse,
business.
Though, even worse, though, it's like a manager at McDonald's that has to pay
the workers more money than he'll ever
75
see.
Times more
That's
money.
Right.
Imagine how that must make,
That's
you know, mess.
A good point,
especially
man.
When you're sitting there going, you know, because the problem in the past 2 years is the Green Bay is like, yo, bro, we could have won the Super Bowl.
That's right.
We did. We got you in a good position. You know what I mean? And then the Aaron Rodgers part is like, okay, switch me out with, you know, somebody, one of these other quarterbacks, to see if you would have had the same success.
Jordan Love.
Go ahead with that guy. So
it's
they're having this power struggle of like, and like Aaron Rodgers basically is like, he wants to play.
Yeah.
He wants to play. He wants to be with his team. He knows he has a good shot.
That's right.
But he needed to let everybody know. He just put them on blast.
I loved it. I was so there for it.
And he basically let them know, like, we're going to be going through this shit again next year, too.
Yes.
So I don't want to be here.
I feel like you should be able to have those types of press conferences about, like, your husbands or wives. Should have been like be able to lay everything out. Say, I'm going to stay in this marriage, but I got to talk about your mom for a second.
You know
what I mean?
I don't like this.
I don't
this
like this.
This is what I don't like.
I saw Marcus Spears on ESPN First Take said the best thing about it was, like, he went in, told his wife, I'm leaving you when the kids graduate.
That's right.
That's it.
That's right.
This is basically what just happened.
That's right.
He came in there and was just like,
that's
no,
the beginning
thank
of a romantic
you.
Comedy where they find each other again.
Yeah. But I mean, so, you know, I thought that was, yeah.
Now,
it,
that,
it was,
like, in like total romantic comedy, Aaron Rodgers could have like a head injury where he forgets everything he said
but,
and falls in love
but
with
what,
the Packers.
But
again.
Let me ask you guys this. What do we want to happen? Because
I want him to go to a different team where he's happy
so,
and wins.
So I would be happy for him if. I think he deserves to win another one. I do think that for the history of the game, I think it's important that a guy like that wins because of the talent that he has. I think he should rise above all these other people who have won. I think he's at least two Super
he's
Bowl
a singular
champion.
Talent.
Champion. To me, I put him in the same category, if not a better arm strength, than Peyton Manning. Okay? I think Eli Manning winning two is insane and bizarre and weird, and just that's the anomaly. But I think all the guys who have two, all the guys who have multiple, he's in that category. Mm-hmm. I think he's as good as that.
Well, what I'm saying though is, let's say they win the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, then what?
Now what do you do?
What I'm saying, you come back.
You do.
Oh,
come
yeah, of
back.
Course.
You know, you guys go. Hey, look, we worked it out through all this. Look what we did.
We could change.
We're good together.
That's right.
That's like when you
know
talk
I mean?
Shit about your wife or your girlfriend to all your friends, and then like 6 weeks later, you show up at a party and you're with her, and you're like, we worked it out.
Yeah. We're good again.
Not
remember
just
all that shit
it
I said?
Out. You just it's, it,
we want it. We
yeah,
want
so
it.
So I just think that like if they win,
it's going to be a
best
lot.
Case scenario is they win.
Right.
I think if they win, and then he stays. They sign him, so he's there for 3 or 4 more years.
Yep.
They groom Jordan Love. They're going to have to draft someone else because that guy I don't think is ever going to be ready. But worst case scenario is he gets hurt.
Yeah.
Or they go 7-9
seven
and it's
and
like,
10,
what was
yeah.
all this for? It was too distracting. And then what? You know, then it's like
they have excuses.
Then I still think he finds another team.
I think he finds another team.
Goes to the team.
All right, last.
All right, last thing. Kyle Kuzma. Doesn't he need more signs to get out of L.A.? This is
his SUV gets stolen this weekend.
Then it gets
crashed.
High speed chase and crash.
Like that is get out of town, dude. Nobody wants you here. Do you
so
know what I'm
saying? Has there been a bigger pseudo sort of bust when you think about a Laker?
I don't know.
There was a lot of promise for this kid. He was supposed to be the number three.
There were a couple of murals here with his face on.
Yeah, I don't. You know, it's like it's tough, man. You know, it's like it's not easy to be great because the ones that are great. First of all, one of the things we have to remember about all of these professional athletes is at a certain point in their life, in their career, they were better than everyone around them.
Oh,
everyone.
Yeah. They're the best their neighborhood, their high school, their town has ever seen.
They get to college, and then they're around more peers.
That's right.
But they still shine above a lot of people.
That's right.
Then they get to the pros, and they get around a guy like LeBron James.
And you're like.
And they're just like, oh, yeah, you're not very good. You know? But they're still. You know, not everybody has that
right
thing to be.
And then you get your SUV.
Well,
then
you got that money.
You got the money. I think there's a little bit of the Tyler Hero thing going on with Kyle Kuzma, which is internet, you know, Instagram models, all that stuff.
You know what, though?
Those things, once they start filling you up a little bit, then you got a couple things going on.
I disagree with you 100%.
Then tell me why.
I'll tell you why. That stuff's always been around. We just see it, so we think we're privy to something new, man.
People are posting about it.
Yes. What are you talking about? This is nothing new.
Yeah.
You hear Jordan in his documentary talking about walking into a hotel room and all the players. There's coke and hookers and this ain't new. This ain't new. You think millionaire athletes?
It's not new.
Now models are going after them.
I'm not saying they're going after them. I'm saying there's like now there's instant like IG like your IG stories. He's got to keep up with that shit as opposed to keeping up with his life.
Yeah, but I think that
with his basketball
life. We sound like old crotchety men.
No,
right now.
Man,
we sound like
saying.
Get off my lawn.
No, I'm not. It's here to stay.
LeBron James. Nobody keeps up with his image more than LeBron James.
I know.
Doesn't seem to affect him.
And maybe that's why he's not winning more. Yeah, Kyle Kuzma.
The two of you, the worst. It's like a double team of the worst.
I love it. I love it. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we got
the worm.
The worm. The worm can confirm. Eric Griffin, thanks for joining us on the show. Love
Thank you,
buddy.
You.
Eric Griffin, everybody.
Come on, buddy.
The dude has not met a stance that he doesn't want to take that's against you. I love it, and I love him so much. He is great, and I'm so happy he was on the show. Great discussion. And now we
get a voicemail from Dennis Rodman.
Well, not a voicemail. We talked to him.
Oh, that's right.
We talked to him.
We did this interview a while back.
But yes, we talked to Rodman. It's Olympic-based, and the Rodmonian is with us. So we're going to play that interview right now.
Okay, guys, welcome back to the show. As promised, it's been a while since we've had him on. I am so happy to have him on as the Olympics near, and we are sort of in this period of time where the Olympics are coming. I wonder his international connections to North Korea, his fact that he, you know, the fact that the U.S. basketball team has been playing under expectations.
Certainly in the warm-up.
In the warm-up and the tune-up to the Olympics. I want to hear Dennis Rodman's. Oh, there he is. How are you, Dennis? How are you, brother?
Oh, man, it's... Man, I want to tell you, it's so good to be here because, like, I feel like I haven't even heard you guys. You know, I don't.
It's been a while.
I don't listen to your show. So the only time that I actually hear you is
when
here.
We talk. Yeah, in the interview. Yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah, yeah. So I like it. You know, I mean, it's like my own teammates. You know, I never hung out with John Paxson, but it was always nice. You know, in September, get back in the locker room, say, man. You're still white.
Yeah. Well, it's
your affinity for short white guys who can take their shots.
He maintained his whiteness throughout.
I don't think he was a Jewish, though. I don't think he was a Jewish.
And I don't think you called Jewish people a Jewish,
but that's fine. So, Dennis.
Sorry, man. My bad.
That's all right, man. Dennis, how.
Yeah.
When you look at this U.S. basketball team, it has not been constructed.
They don't have a Dennis Rodman. They don't have a guy who can mix it up and get the rebounds. Am I right?
Are you mad? You are right, man. They don't got a worm.
Nope, no worm.
Nothing, okay?
No worm.
Nothing. They got dogs. They got a lot of dogs.
No worm.
What
a bunch of dogs. Do you think you could play today? You could help this team?
There's no doubt.
No doubt.
No, you know, I mean, pretty much every day I wake up, I'm like, man, hello, you're missing me. You're missing out.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, I have a lot to offer. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, man. I can't just get, you know, distracted by my skills as a basketball player.
My skills
now are better served with the great coming of the third Ra, His Eminency, Kim Jong-un, the greatest guy on the planet.
He's not great.
I'm telling you, he's not a great guy.
No. Let me tell you something, okay? Mm-hmm. When people ask me about you, Star Brothers, okay, I say, man, they are great guys.
Thank you.
That's what
I say.
So well, how's that different?
Well, I don't want you to do
that.
We haven't killed people. We haven't killed people.
Like I said about Obama? Is that what you want me to do?
No.
We want you to continue to say good things about us,
but we haven't put people in internment camps and stuff. You know,
and killed anyone.
You know, you don't got the vision, okay?
Oh, that's not vision. That's terrible.
Dennis, come on.
So, Dennis,
whatever it is, you know, you don't own a country, okay? That's a lot of land.
No, we don't. That's a lot of land.
I don't think he owns the country. I don't think he owns.
I don't know. Nobody gets in or out without him, so
okay,
that sounds
like owner. But doesn't that seem weird?
Feels dictator.
Like my storm drain in Redondo. Let me tell you, nobody gets in or out without me. That's
a good point. Dennis, so what does the U.S. team need to do in order to get it on the right track and potentially bring home gold in a much more crowded field or a much more competitive field?
Well, the first thing that I would do is start recruiting players from other countries.
Wait,
I don't think you can do that.
Not for the Olympics.
They do have to represent America and be from America.
I mean, listen, man.
Yeah.
What is America? Okay, what is that?
That's a good
question. Okay, it's like Kim Jong says to me all the time. He says, Dennis, man, it's all lines on a marble. It don't matter.
Is he getting emotional?
You control what you control, and that's it. So if the U.S. wants to win, they
got
to take some of Kim Jong's. They got to take some of his ideas, which is like you got to be a little bit of strong. What they call a strong man. Okay,
strong man.
I learned this. Okay, listen, hold on.
Yeah.
I'm gonna explain this to you, because I know you don't know how the politics works.
Okay, we do.
You have a strong man. Okay, that's like what you get at McDonald's and drink a drink. Okay, with a straw.
Strong man.
See, I'm a strong man.
Yeah,
and so that's what the U.S. team needs. They need strong men like Kim Jong and like the worm. But the problem is, they're soft, okay? And they say like, oh, with COVID, we can't practice, so put on a mask. Look, you know, that's not how we defeated Nazi Germany, okay?
So get COVID. Get COVID and get in the paint is what you're saying.
No, I understand. Yeah. I understand what you're saying.
Okay. And look at Kim. Let me tell you something else. Look at little Kim right now, okay? I can call him little Kim because the man
you can't call him little Kim.
Yeah, I can.
No.
He's lost 50 pounds. 50.
Wow. On Nutrisystem?
I have trained him. I got him.
Oh,
that
you got him.
Loss.
You did.
That was my gift.
Wow.
Okay. The CIA has been taking pictures. Uh-huh. Okay. They saw that his watch was looking a little loose. I'm like, that's right.
That's
so they all worried. So we got to make sure that he's not.
Worm got him in shape. Worm got him in shape.
You got him on a program. I have a
question. I put him on a Scarsdale diet.
Oh. Oh.
Yes, not on us.
One last question before we let you go, Dennis.
To the storm
I'm sure you saw the dust up with Scottie Pippen, who claimed that Phil Jackson was a racist.
I was expecting you to come out and either refute it or support the Pip.
We didn't hear anything. Now to let us
know
what
your chance to weigh in.
Look, man, I mean, Phil Jackson, man, mm-hmm. he was like a father to me. Okay.
Uh-oh. Are you getting emotional? Are you getting emotional?
No. Don't anticipate where I may or may not be going emotionally. Stop.
Sorry. I thought I heard it.
Because when you do that.
Here we go.
That gets the engine running, and I don't need it running right now.
No, no, no.
Let me get out the thought what I had about film.
Say what he was going to say.
Do it. Do it.
There's some of them. Phil Jackson was the Joe Jackson of the Chicago Bulls. And I'm not talking about stepping out.
No.
I'm talking about Michael. Tito, Jermaine.
Oh, that guy.
Randy,
that, the abusive Janet, father of the Jackson
family. Yeah,
the abusive father of the Jackson family, yes.
He was the glue, okay? He was the glue.
I'm the glue.
And so maybe the glue got a little sloppy here and there, okay? Yeah, maybe he said something to Scotty, like, hey, you know, I don't know.
I don't like your nose. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
but the point is, we won championships.
Yep.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
And I got with Carmen Electra.
That's
so
true.
So tell
That's
me how
true.
That worked out, Scotty.
Yeah, he did let
so,
you go.
So,
do
so the fact that you were able to get with Carmen Electra eliminates the possibility that Phil Jackson could have been
because
a racist.
She's not white.
That's good math.
Thank
what
you.
You did there. That's
Thank
perfect.
I got
mix.
It. I followed your logic.
I got championship rings
and Carmen Electra
championship, and then you know.
Booty.
Yeah,
championship
that's what
rings
happened.
And
so
championship
Scott
booty.
Scott is jealous again of the worm, and he's diffusing. Okay, he's deflecting onto Phil, who was the samurai warrior, the Buddha, the temple, the anti-racist, the all anti-bad of everything.
Yep.
And Scotty's like, bah, 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 look at me, totem pole, totem pole.
There
okay,
you,
we get it.
Okay.
You know,
there you
God
go.
Carved you out a little different.
There you go.
There it is.
That I was waiting to hear.
I'm so
the
glad
Rodman
we got that.
Rodman, I love you, buddy.
Worm, we confirm.
We confirm. We love you.
You guys are my brothers, man.
You better believe it.
Always.
You better believe it.
Keep telling people that we're great.
Keep telling people we're great, and we'll keep telling people you're great, and we'll keep having you on. We love you, brother.
Labor Day weekend, Agua Caliente. Be there.
See you there.
All right.
All right. We are out. Oh, the worm can confirm.
He can. That's a show.
I love it. That is a show, you guys. Want to mention our Patreon. If you have not joined our Patreon, new episodes of Cheap Seats. We just recorded 4 of them. For the next 4 months, we're dropping a new one each month. So
and they're unbelievable.
The first time we've done new episodes in 15 years.
The only place to get new Cheap Seats is on our Patreon, and it's only $5 a month, a cup of coffee.
Cheaper Seats. Cheap Seats 2.0. Enjoy it. It's there. Plus, extra interview. We have a little extra with Eric Griffin that's on here. Plus, we do every week, we do a weekly Patreon pod for you that you get it. That's only for you. Lots of extra content. Lots of fun. Only $5 a month. So check that out. Patreon.com. Look up Sklar Brothers. And then we're coming out and doing some live shows. If this world kind of
can hold it together.
Can hold it together. We'll be in Moon Tower in September.
End of September. And then end of October. October 21st and 22nd.
22nd
and 23rd. We'll be in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Oh,
at the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase. A club that we worked hard to help save and get through their tough times. Let's fill it when we're there. I think right now we only have 3 shows, but if we sell it out, we can maybe have 4 shows.
Add a fourth. You never know. Let's do that, you guys. Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase. If you're in Detroit, let's do that there. And then we got Phoenix. We're doing, right? We're doing
Denver,
Tempe, Arizona.
Phoenix at Tempe, Arizona, December 10th.
That's right.
Weekend, whatever that weekend.
And then D.C. in February. So it's starting to stack up. We love it. Love you guys. Punch waterfalls, and we'll see you next week.
A podcast network.